been asked to share with you and complete one book of the Bible.
So the Lord laid upon my heart to study the book of Obadiah. Obadiah means serving Jehovah. It comes from two words. Obad means to serve, and Yah means the Lord. So serving Jehovah. That's the meaning of his name. It is about Edom. Edom is located at the southern part of the Dead Sea. Jerusalem is the capital of Judah. And I believe Obadiah was written during the exilic period when Jerusalem had been conquered and destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar and his armies. And the Edomites were not direct participants of the destruction because the Babylonians were the superpower at the time. And so what they did was to support, cheer, and watch as Jerusalem was destroyed. This is the backdrop of the short minor prophet called Obadiah. We know this because of some of the transgressions that the Edomites committed against Jerusalem. And the Lord highlighted this in our second message, God willing, from verse 10 to verse 14. These are some of the transgressions that the Edomites committed. And if you were to turn to Psalm 137, this is a national imprecatory psalm whereby the Edomites or Edom was mentioned. Psalm 137, where it describes what the Edomites did. In Psalm 137, verse 7, "Remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem." This psalm was sung by the people of Judah while they were in Babylon already. Look at Psalm 37, verse 1. "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion." So they were already in exile, and they were being mocked and laughed at by the Babylonians. "Why don't you sing us a song? Sing us a song of your homeland." And so they sat there, now in exile as slaves to the superpower called the Babylonians. And so they recalled and remembered what the Edomites did when Jerusalem was destroyed. And so they cried to the Lord, "Remember, O Lord, the children of Edom, in the day of Jerusalem, when Jerusalem was razed to the ground with the temple being destroyed, who said, 'Raise it, raise it, burn it, burn it,' even to the foundation thereof." So they were cheering while the Babylonians destroyed Jerusalem. They were delighted, they were happy. Now, this was the background of Obadiah's vision received from the Lord to the Edomites. Who were they? If you have watched the movie from Hollywood, Raiders of the Lost Ark, did you see that? Right at the very end of that show, you saw them walking toward this structure that is known as Petra. All right, that is supposed to be the outside of the place where the Ark of the Covenant was supposed to, not the Ark, not Raiders of the Lost. You see, I get all confused. If you have watched one of these movies and you see that wall, where you see this gigantic structure carved into the rock wall. Now that is Petra. Petra is one of the major cities where the Edomites once upon a time was at the height of their might and power. They were untouchable. They had this ability, a very clever ability. If you ever get to go to Petra, you should try to go, and you're going to see the magnificence of their engineering skill. They literally carved cities inside into the rock walls. Not just one, not just two, many of them. And they built their cities surrounded by all these high walls with beautiful architecture and engineering. That's the Edomites. And their beginning was at the same time as Jacob, because Esau was the older twin brother of Jacob. Not an identical twin, of course, but they were born a split second apart, a few seconds apart. And so they had the same humble beginning as Jacob. And that is why God called them brothers. You see that in verse 10. Thy violence against thy brother Jacob. This was to help us realize and understand why God changed Edom to Esau in verse 6 and verse 1. Verse 1, it is called Edom, the nation. But Esau reminded us of the person. And then Jacob is mentioned in verse 10 to bring us back to the very beginning of their birth. And so God had a very good and clear instruction also for us. Because when they were very young, when they had nothing, and they were just two young boys in the father's home, Isaac, what is there to be proud of? They had done nothing, they had accomplished nothing, and they possessed nothing. And then when they were old enough, after they split up, Jacob, of course, became Israel. Esau became Edom. And by the time they reunited after a very, very heated and angry argument and deception because of Jacob, who stole Esau's birthright, they made up and became very good friends. Both of them were present to bury Isaac upon Isaac's death. And that gave us a very good indicator that right up to the very end of Isaac's life, he was able to see his twin boys reunited. A very happy end for father to see two brothers who were angry with each other, especially Esau against Jacob, to the point of murderous rage. But his life ended on a good note because the two boys, or the two young men, reunited in peace. And then nothing was heard much other than the fact that they went their own way. Both of them became very successful. The focus was on Jacob, of course. But the Edomites were mentioned here and there. And in this particular short minor prophet, God will give us the beginning and the reason why the Edomites will come to a very sad end. They will be cut off, never to be remembered ever again. What happened to them? What did they do wrong? Well, they went the way of the world. Just like any young person. When you are in school, if you are a very good student, you probably take pride only in your academic abilities. And after you graduated, you started work, and then you will take pride in more than just your academic abilities. Now, you will take pride in other abilities. You see, when a person is proud, it is always based upon something that he had accomplished. Before he accomplished anything, like all of us, when you are born outside, well, into this world from the mother's womb, you have done nothing. Nothing to be boastful, nothing to be proud of, because like any infant, you came into this world knowing nothing, doing nothing. And then as you begin to study harder, accomplish more, then pride begins to set in. And so you think that it's because of your ability that you have now established your family, established your home, and not just a simple home, but a pretty nice little home. And then not only one house, but more than one. Once you begin to accomplish, the pride of the heart will set in, just like Edom. Of course, in the case of Edom, it was not just a family, it was a nation. And they have very, very good reasons to be proud. They were untouchable. Imagine living in those days when your weapons of war were bow and arrows, spears and swords and shields, and maybe catapult, and that's it. If your dwelling places are all high up in the mountains, you just look down upon your enemies and you can laugh at them, and you'll feel that you are literally untouchable. Their sword and their spears can never reach you. Maybe their arrows, if they can shoot them high enough, but other than that, you seem to be invincible. That was Edom's mentality. That's how the Edomites perceived themselves, because they were placed so high up. Their engineering skill and their protection from all the weapons of the ancient world made them literally untouchable, and perhaps they thought invincible. Their kingdom will live and last forever, as long as the weapons of war do not change. That's their perception. By their own works, by their own abilities, they have arrived. And so God has summarized what he was about to tell them in the first two verses. The pride of the heart of man is invisible to the naked eyes unless the person so chooses to express it. If the person does not express it, you will not be able to tell. And the problem with us is, we find it very, very hard not to express it. We tend to want people to know that we have arrived, that we have accomplished something, just like Edomites with their beautiful, tall buildings, carved into the rock walls. Very tall, because compared to our buildings, the height was nothing. But in those days, it was a sight to behold. And the Edomites were well known for this. And so God said, I know the pride of your heart. The vision of Obadiah, thus saith the Lord God. The word God there is, of course, Jehovah. Concerning Edom, which means red, we have heard a hearing. That's the word rumor. We have heard a hearing from the Lord. And an ambassador is sent among the heathen, that is a herald, a person who will announce, an announcer, is sent among the heathen, arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. This is to tell us that the glory and the pride of Edom was well known. And so this was a vision from the Lord, a dream, a word, a hearing, to tell all the nations who have heard of Edom's high and mighty, invincible personality. Come, let us rise up against her in battle. She's going to be destroyed, she's going to be brought down, she's going to be cut off and be remembered no more. Let us come. Behold, I've made thee small among the heathen, thou art greatly despised. This is what God do to people with the pride of heart. Please realize that God has not changed. And so when it is the pride of heart in believers, or at least professing believers, it is two times worse. When the world is filled with pride, please understand that it is a transgression. The world is God's home for mankind. And whatever man build in God's home, what is there for man to be proud of, especially men who do not believe in God? Now that is a transgression in itself that God will punish. But the transgression of professing believers, when they live like that, thinking that it is by their own hand that they have accomplished, it is by their own sheer willpower that they have attained, they not only damage their own name because of their pride in them, but they also damage the name of Christ. And that is why you and I must bear in mind that the condition of the pride of heart is known to God Almighty. You may hide it very well. You may be starting out in life as many of you young adults are. You may have very little to be proud of for some, but for some of you, you may think that you have already arrived because you have done pretty well. Especially those who have been in the working world for maybe 5, 10 years, just under 10 years. And you may seem to be climbing the ladder, climbing the corporate ladder pretty well and pretty fast. And so you might now begin to toy with the idea of, I'm better than my neighbor. I'm smarter than some of my classmates. I'm better than some of the brethren in the church. You may not want to express it outwardly because that will expose you for who you are. A man of pride and arrogance. And so you may hide it within. But the fact of the matter is, the Lord knows. He is the only person that must matter to you. Because he is the only person that you and I, all of us, will have to answer to at the end of life. And if you do not do something to stop this pride of heart, because of your own accomplishment, because of your abilities, because of your experience, because of what you have attained, learn from what God said to the Edomites through Obadiah. Because the end is going to be the same. And you and I have to take note. The reason is, you have your life ahead of you. You talk to some of our brethren belonging to the senior adults or even the golden years. They were not taught when they were younger. They did not listen. Perhaps either that, they did not have the knowledge. And now they have accomplished. You talk to them if you find the time, and if they are prepared to share with you the many regrets in life because of the pride of heart. Remember, when you are born, the pride is there. But there's nothing to be proud of yet because you have not accomplished anything. Every child is born with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life in them. It is dormant. And it will be seen little by little, but the moment they cross the age of into the age of accountability, this pride, this lust, they will now become the weapons, the tools that will drive children toward the direction of the world. If parents do not stop them and steer them back into the pathway of righteousness by your life, by your teaching, they're going to head in that direction. Every child born to this world is programmed. Please understand, programmed inside their sinful nature to go into the direction of the world, no exception. Your duty as parents is to stop it. But if you are filled with the pride of your own abilities, you are useless to your children because you're going to point them in the direction of the world, which they are already heading. The only difference is you push them faster. You just put the fast mode on into their being. Because like father, like son, like mother, like daughter, bear that in mind. You want to see how, if you remember your bride, think about family, think about home. They learn it from mom. They learn from what they see at home. Same for the man. Where do you think they learn it from? How to be a husband, how to be a father, how to set up a house. They learn from home, either mom or dad. They try to replicate what their home was like. And of course, you will replicate what your home is like, and that's where you have your differences. And then in time, it will blend and amalgamate and into a new home, which is a mixture of both homes into one. Please realize and understand the pride of heart is very strong in the heart of young people like yourself, because you don't have it yet and you want to have it all. And if you do not learn from the Edomites, you're not going to learn at all. Because they were great, no doubt about that. You can still see a tinge of their greatness when you go to Petra. Tourists in the hundreds and thousands every year would go there just to take pictures and see the glory that once was. Well, are there people there anymore? No. It's just an empty shell of past glory. Now that is a reflection of what the pride of heart can do to anyone, including any nation. America will be the same. Russia, China, all the nations of the world will end up like this. Don't ever forget that. No matter how great a nation and empire is, it will become an empty shell. Because that's what the pride of heart of every man will end up. No exception. If you think you're going to be different, you are fooling yourself. And that foolishness in you will ruin many lives, especially your children. Because they are closest to you. They're impacted the most by you because they live in your home. And therefore, take heed. This condition, the Lord knows, and that's why the Lord's hearing, the Lord's message, the Lord's announcement to the rest of the nation, come and watch how this great nation in its pride will now become nothing. It's going to be greatly despised and it's going to be made very small. This is the end. And the Lord has revealed to us. And I pray and really hope that you will be wise, because you can still do something. For some of you, it may be a very little late, because you're already headed in the direction. For those who have just started work, less than 5 years perhaps, it's still not too difficult to put a halt to the direction of carnality, because that's where the pride of heart usually heads toward, carnality. Measured by the abundance of what you possess, you take pride in them. Isn't that true? What is there to take pride of if I can't own a car, if I just simply take bus? What is there to be proud of if I'm just living in a three-room rented HDB flat because I can't even afford to have a flat? I have nothing, even after I've been working for 50 years. You think this person has anything to be proud of? What kind of work does he do? Well, he could barely bring enough money home to feed himself and his family. He works as perhaps a petrol station attendant, eking out a living. What skill does he have? Well, he played the fool and he doesn't have any skill at all. And he's too lazy to have any good long-term experience. You think he is proud? You think he is very proud of the fact that he lives in a rented three-room HDB flat where his children have to live in the living room at night? Nothing to be proud of. In contrast, of course, to someone who lives in a very nice bungalow when he started with absolutely nothing. And now he lives in a big house, a big bungalow with swimming pool, with a lift inside his house. When you enter into his house, he even has his own personal gym, a beautiful landscape garden, four cars in his multi-car garage. Whatever you can think of is not an option. He spends most of his time traveling. Whenever, whatever place he wants to visit, whenever he feels like it, he just go. Money is never an option. So much money that he has accumulated at the end of his life, compared to the first person, both of them around the same age, late 50s. Who has something to be proud of, to boast about? Of course, the second person. You see, pride comes because of your accomplishment, which you think that you have done by your sheer willpower and your own hands. Why do you think God warned Israel? The time when you're going to forget me is the time when you're going to live in your sealed houses and as landlords. That's when you're going to forget me. Because pride is the thing that will push God out of your life. I have done it. I've accomplished it. Remember, the pride of heart is known to God. You can't hide from Him. You can do something right now if this is what you think you're heading toward. And you're going to be very honest with your own soul, because if you're not going to be honest with your own soul, you're not going to improve, you're not going to change, you're not going to do something. If you think that you're right, fine. Fine, don't change. Stay on course in the direction that you are traveling on. But bear in mind, if the Lord tarries, and you are now 60, 70 years old, retired, what kind of image do you think will describe you? 30 years down the road. That's 30 years down the road, right? 30 years down the road. God willing, I will be in my 90s. I pray to the Lord that if the Lord tarries, I will live up to 120 and my eyes are not dim and my body is not weak. Like Moses. You think God cannot do that? Of course He can do that. He did it for Moses after the flood. And Moses himself said 70 years, and he lived 120, eyes not dim, body not weakened. Right, seriously, 30 years from now, what do you want yourself to be? What do you want your family or children to be? You just project it 30 years, and it's not very far, because just like that, it's over. Seriously. What do you want yourself to be? What kind of person do you want yourself to be? Like Edom, the pride of thy heart hath deceived thee. Verse 3. This is now the judgment. This is God's commentary. Thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in their heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Or we may not build our selves inside the high cleft, because today's weapons of war is useless. Our high cleft dwells in the clefts of the rocks. In our case, it's money. Mountain of money. And we think that if we surround ourselves with a mountain of money and provide our children luxurious goods upon luxurious goods, that is success. That is the duty of every father and mother. Yes, if you are not a Christian. Because they know no difference. They do not know better. You can't blame them. As unbelievers, that is the way to go. Sure, there are some who want to head on the opposite direction, but majority of them will head in that direction. You can see this by the long queues. You can see this by the millions of Americans who will buy the lottery when the jackpot is nearly $500 million. Millions of Americans will flock to buy, just like in Singapore, of course, a much, much smaller amount, but still a sizable amount in the millions. And there will be long queues, queuing up just to buy that number, thinking that they will strike it rich. Overnight, multi-millionaire, just like that. Why? Because that's the mountain of confidence. If I have all the money in the world, I have power over my life, I can control and I can buy what I want, I can go anywhere I want. And so money is what many people will hang on to, just like the pride of the heart of the Edomites. For them, it is their structure, the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high. Who shall bring me down to the ground? If I am a multi-millionaire, even a billionaire, who can bring me down to the ground? Isn't that what many of them think? That's the Edomite for you and for me. Isn't that true? Why do people want to be multi-billionaire if you're the richest man in Singapore? What do you think is his thinking? Isn't this what his thinking would be? Who shall bring me down to the ground? Right? Who can take away my billions? I own so much, I can do whatever I want. Though thou exalt thyself like the eagles, thinking that you can never be touched. And though thou set thy nest among the stars, that's your home, way up there. That's what people who are multi-billionaire think, right? Set their homes among the stars. Everybody will kowtow to them. If any building does not want to welcome you, you can buy the whole building. That's the pride and arrogance of billionaires all over the world. They walk around and they strut around like peacocks, like kings. They don't simply walk into restaurants and queue up and make bookings like a normal human being. If you don't give it to them, they can buy your whole restaurant. They can buy the whole building that your restaurant is in. Untouchable. Who can bring us down? We have all the money in the world at our disposal. Is that what you want to go, dear friend? This is what pride is. This is what and how God described the pride of man. This is the attitude, the heart condition, the thinking. Is this what you want for yourself and for your family? Then please, head in that direction. But open your eyes. Know the end. God already summarized it in the first two verses what the end will be like. You're going to be greatly despised because the people will envy you, the people will be jealous of you, the people will hate you. You think they're going to like you? Yeah, those who want something from you will like you, superficially speaking. But by and large, you are up there, they want you down. They want some of your billions. They can't stand the Edomites in their arrogance and their pride. Not even the heathen nations. This is what the pride of man is, as defined for us by God, that will do to a person. Remember, Esau was nothing. How are the things of Esau searched out? When you were a nobody, remember Edom, you were just a man, and Esau. Humble beginning. But look at you today. A great nation after hundreds of years, just like Israel, gone. And so will you, about to be destroyed. I really hope that you all will learn as young adults, because your life is ahead of you. The danger of pride is real. I hope this is not a description of any one of us. Who shall bring me down to the ground? Is that what you are thinking? As some of you have accomplished a little bit enough. Or exalt yourself like the eagles or nest among the stars. Please don't go in that direction. Seen enough in my short 26 years of ministry, the lives of young adults who are no longer young adults today. Because I was a young adult once. I knew what it's like to work, even though it is short, 3.5 years. started with very little, but I thank God for the condition of my working life. Because of the situation of my younger siblings, the condition of my working life was just simply to work and make enough money to give to my mom to help my younger siblings through their studies. And because of that necessity, it helped me. Because I watched some of my friends who did not have the same kind of necessity to provide money to my mom to support my younger siblings through their studies. Their dressing changed. They started to dress in a manner that was so different from the time, and I remember them when we were students in university, when all of us were barely surviving. I had to give tuition. My friend had to work to sketch and draw before the invention of computer-aided design, just to have some money to tie us over on a month-to-month basis, literally. But then after they started work, suddenly you feel so rich, $4,000 or $5,000 in your pocket just like that, every month. And so their places of lunch and dinner change. Their dressing, of course, change. Now they could buy more expensive garments, branded shoes, branded clothes, branded pants, and they make sure that people see that they are slowly becoming someone. Someone whereby they one day will build a nest among the stars. And today, in my last reunion with them, after 10 years of working, they had a reunion in Gill House, NUS. I went there once and I do not want to go back again, because the conversation they had, the cars they drove, the dressing that they had on, not my cup of tea. And so when they had further some more of these reunions, the last one was at a bar. Of course, they would go there to drink. I took my name off the group. I say, I'm sorry, I'm not interested in any more future gatherings. But that's where they headed. So I thank God for the 3.5 years the Lord let me work, and with the necessity to provide for my younger siblings, just as my older siblings provided for my studies, I had to do the same for my younger siblings. And so I was not affected by all these branded goods because of the necessity. I am so scared that if I had not that necessity to provide for my younger siblings, I would probably hit the same way. And so my dressings were basically my dad's clothes, 20-year-old clothes from my dad. My mom asked, these are your dad's clothes, do you want to wear? And I said, okay, nah, if it fits, if it's still wearable, I wear. I wore his pants, I wore his shirts, I wore all this to work. My dad's clothes, free of charge. It's from my dad. Didn't bother about all this fashion. Why? Because of the necessity. Got to work hard to provide for my younger siblings, to give to my mom, because my mom was a widow. My dad passed away when I was 17, and we lost everything. And so these were all good. It helped. And then before I could continue to work some more, the Lord called me into full-time ministry. Of course, full-time ministry has its own struggle and problem. Pride also can also set in at any time. If you think that you have done something good, if you think that you are a clever preacher, a clever teacher, a clever pastor, pride will set in just like anybody else. Accomplishments. The fact of the matter is, did you really do it on your own, or did God alone is the one who has helped you? The Edomites felt, well, we did it on our own. Our engineers, our architects, our builders, our craftsmen, we did it. And therefore, we are untouchable. Build our dwelling places in the stars. Your stars and my stars would be what money can buy for you. Please, don't head in the direction. Don't be like the dog that will go back to its own vomit. Did the Lord Jesus Christ not deliver us from that kind of life? The life of carnality, the life of the carnival. Just let the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes just run amok. And then let the pride of life become the foundation. This is what you see. You must not become. The Lord Jesus Christ had delivered us from such. And so the Lord now tells the Edomites from verse 4b to verse 9. what the pride of heart had done to it, to her. 4b, thence will I bring thee down, said the Lord. When you are at the height, when you think that you are untouchable, I will bring you down. When you are all the way up there, if thieves came to thee, if robbers by night, how art thou cut off? Not knowing. It just suddenly will happen. Because that's exactly what thieves and robbers do, right? They're not going to announce it. They just come suddenly and rob you blind. Would they not have stolen till they had enough? Of course. If the grape gatherers came to thee, would they not leave some grapes? In Israel, yes, the four corners they are not supposed to harvest. And whatever first round of gathering, that's all they're going to be allowed by God to do. No second round gathering, whatever you leave behind, leave them for the poor, but not the laws of the heathens. They will pluck you dry. How are the things of Esau searched out? How are his hidden things sought out? God will know them. God will expose them. God will discover them. And God will bring everything to naught. All the men of thy confederacy that you make a covenant with have brought thee even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee. They are not really your true friends. They are here because they want to take advantage of you when you can help them. But actually they envy you. They want you broken, destroyed, and prevailed against thee. They that eat thy bread have laid a wound under the tree. There is none understanding in him. And the Edomites just simply will not be able to see because their heads are in the clouds. They think that these are his true friends because of his wealth, because of his position, because of his power. That's the way of the world. Don't go there. This is a description of the present world just as it described Edom in those days. They are never your true friends because a true friend will never, never put your interests second to theirs. If you do not believe it, then you are a fool. Your interests will never, never be above his own. If by sabotaging you and you will lose your job, and by sabotaging you, you lose your job so that he can keep his for his family, for his children, what do you think he's going to do? You think he's going to do the noble thing and surrender his job so that you can have your job to feed your family? His family and himself will come first all the time. But not for a Christian, not for someone who knows Christ. Jonathan was the best friend to David because Jonathan put God's interest in David's life first and foremost. And if it means to give up his own kingdom, which was what God required him, so that David could experience God's will in his life, he did it. He will not esteem himself better than others. Did the Bible not teach us to esteem others better than ourselves? In Philippians? That's a Christian. If you go by the way of carnality, you're going to have a lot of carnal friends around you. Because to be a carnal person at that kind of height, at that kind of level, where your habitation is in the stars, you think you're going to have a lot of time in church? You think you're going to have a lot of Christian friends? You're going to have a lot of worldly friends. You're going to rub shoulders with a lot of worldly people who are also at the same boat as you are in, whose homes are also like the stars. It's just a different star from yours. What do you think they are like? Well, verse 7 describes to you what they are like. They will make peace with you as long as it benefits them, but actually they are there to deceive you. At every opportunity, if they could bring you down so that they can get something out of you, they will do it. I'm sure you have seen this in the working world, in the corporate world. The dirty business, the unscrupulous methods they employ. And God is warning us, don't go in that direction. Your life in Christ is priceless and precious. If you are born again, if you are truly born again in Christ, if you truly have the Spirit of God dwelling in you, you cannot head in that direction. The Spirit of God will never give you peace. And if you have peace heading in the direction of the world of carnality, then either the Spirit of God is sleeping or you don't have him inside of you. And he never sleeps. Because the Bible says God neither slumbers nor sleeps, and that applies to the Spirit of God as well. Because that's how God described Job. Day by day, righteous Job, Lot. Righteous Lot, just Lot, was miserable day in, day out. Because he knew the life that he lived in Sodom and Gomorrah was one of deepest carnality. He lost everything. He lost even the right to preach the truth. Because his own daughter's husbands mocked him and laughed at him and drove him out of their home when he warned them about the impending destruction a few hours after that. They didn't listen to him. He lost his moral right. Don't let your children say that of you. Please, don't let your children say that of mom and dad, that you have lost your moral right to tell me the truth because you have brought me up in the midst of carnality and now I am soaked in carnality and now you tell me about the truth, now you tell me about fire and brimstone destruction. They won't listen. Please don't let that happen. It can happen to every one of us without exception because we call ourselves Christians. And if we mar Christ and turn Christ into a carnal savior because we are carnal, we desire the pride of heart because of our own accomplishments, this is what will happen, the end. You're going to be destroyed even by the people that you try to please because that's what they're going to do to you. And you don't understand it. You have no understanding and you can't see. Shall I not in that day, said the Lord, even destroy the wise men out of Edom and understanding out of the mount of Esau? Destroy everything. Because they don't seem to understand. They don't seem to do anything to change the direction that they're heading toward. And thy mighty man, O Teman. Teman was the name of the grandson of Esau. You can see this in Genesis 36, verse 11. But this is, of course, not a man. Teman means south. Probably south of Edom. Alright? Further down south. Edom is this entire southern part. So further down south. It was a place, according to Bible dictionary. It was a part of Edom filled with men of might and courage. Men of might and courage. Probably very strong and invincible. O thy mighty man, and thy mighty man, O Teman, shall be dismayed. The word dismay means they will prostrate, break down by violence and confusion and fear. They're going to be destroyed. They're going to be prostrated before their enemies. They're going to turn to nothing. Their courage will melt. Because if your courage is in your construction and in your high and mighty cleft in the rock, it will be torn down. And when they are torn down, and that construction is the anchor of your confidence and your pride, your abilities, when they are gone, what do you think will happen to you? When it all crumbles to dust, what will happen to you? You think money is a very good solace that gives you peace of heart and mind when you sleep at night because you have so much? That your future is well taken care of for yourself and for your children? Then you are a man without understanding. You can see. Just like the mighty man of Teman. You can see. Until you are broken down by violence or confusion or fear. To the end that every one of the mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. But then it's too late, isn't it? By then it's too late. Imagine a man in his 60s dying of a terminal illness. Don't have to imagine, you can see it. Or at the height of your might and power, there is a global economic catastrophe. And all your money suddenly disappears. You don't own anything. What is going to happen to your confidence, your pride? If it is anchored in money and your own personal accomplishments. If you think that's not going to happen, you better read the book of Revelation. Because when the Antichrist rises to power, all your money in your name will become nothing because no man can buy or sell without the mark of the beast. That's economic sanction. You can see this in a very small way, what America is trying to do to some of these small nations that do not listen to her. Economic sanction. And any country that will not comply, you will also face the wrath of that superpower nation. Because we want to blockade these nations and starve them to death. Starve their people, then maybe their own people will kill their own leaders, because these leaders do not want to comply and kowtow to us. That's economic sanction. We're seeing this. In the past, it was an impossibility until all the nations of the world are intertwined. When Revelation was written 2,000 years ago, every nation that did not have any agreement with another nation in terms of trade, it does not work. Well, I don't need you to buy and sell. My economy is not linked to yours. So you cannot threaten me, just like when China, during the days of Mao Zedong, hidden behind the bamboo curtain, away from the rest of the world, economic sanction cannot touch China. But the moment that they open the bamboo curtains and intertwine the economy with that of the world, now everybody can threaten everybody. That's exactly what you see right now, right? With Trump inserting tariffs into many of the goods made in China. And China is going to tit for tat, return the favor. And so now, you and I live in a world where all the economies of the world are intricately linked together, never to be separated ever again. You can't. And this is the prelude to the Antichrist control. And so if you think that you are going to have your nest in the stars because of your millions of, not yet millions, thousands and thousands of dollars that you have accumulated, please understand that it's going to turn to thin air. The Bible says so. Not me, not the church. God makes no mistakes. Without the mark of the beast, you can't buy, you can't sell. Your credit card becomes useless. You can't even draw any cash. Even if you have money, you go to the shop and buy. The shopkeeper will ask you, show me the mark of the beast, and you can't have it, because if you have it, you are not a child of God. You need the mark of Christ, not the mark of the beast on you. And so you choose. You want to feed your children who are now starving and crying? Put on the mark of the beast. The moment you have the mark of the beast, you have no Christ. You hold on to Christ, you starve. Your children starve. You go back home, you scream and yell, the stomach hurts. No food, no water. Your choice. Eternal life and suffer on earth and your children. Or eternal hell. Enjoy your life on earth. Worship the Antichrist, the mark of the beast. Build your nest among the stars and dwell in the pride of your heart. You have done it. You have accomplished. But notice, the pride of heart has deceived you, O Edom. That's what God says. Esau was nothing as a young man. And then he became a great nation. And so they became proud. And now God cared enough to warn them. And whichever Edomites living in Edom would listen to the vision of Obadiah, they will be saved as an individual. But the nation will be destroyed, and you force destroyed. You go to Petra, and you only see the ruins. You see the glimpse of a past glorious and powerful, untouchable, invincible nation, or so they thought. Don't go that direction. It will only have one conclusion, and that conclusion is judgment. God will cut off Edom by slaughter, and he did it. They are no more. They don't exist anymore. Please, you should know better. The word of God is not to be heard, it is to be obeyed. You think that by coming to church, serving in church, hearing God's word, God is pleased with you? God says you are no different from a man who looked at himself in the mirror and sees all the dirt on his face and then did nothing about it and walked off still with all the dirt and blemishes on his face, and then he soon forgets about it. That is exactly how God looks at a person who comes to church and listens to God's word, because God's word is like a mirror. The difference is the mirror exposes the dirt on your face. The word of God exposes the dirt in our hearts. And if you do nothing to wash away the dirt, that is by obeying the word of God, you will remain in sin and you will die in sin. If you are truly born again in Christ, young adults, prove it. Prove it by a life of spirituality and not carnality. Let the word of God truly be the light unto your feet and the lamp unto your path to help you to begin your life building your home on solid rock, which is the word of God, and not on sinking sand, which is carnality. And it will sink. Your whole building that you build your life will sink and disappear into nothing unless it is lived according to the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, the word of God. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the way that You cared enough to rebuke Edom. Although Edom was not a chosen nation, but it was related to Jacob, so near to the truth and yet so far from heaven. Help us, O Lord, to learn from the life and the judgment that You have inflicted upon the Edomites. How it was nothing, and how it became so great and so high and mighty. And yet, in that greatness, You brought them down to nothing. Help us to learn from their mistakes, that we may avoid them and not allow these mistakes to ruin our lives as individuals. I pray, Lord, for all these young adults, that their life, if the Lord tarries, is ahead of them. And as they build, day by day, this life that You have given to them and those who are parents with young children, and they are building the lives of their children as well, may they be built on the rock which is Christ, according to all the scriptures, and not the sinking sand, which is the rock of Edom, where the pride of the heart of man that continues to deceive, that will destroy every life. Open our eyes that we may see and behold wonderful truths out of Thy holy word. And may this word be obeyed by Your people for the sake of their own children, and definitely for Christ's sake. Hear us, O Lord. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.